Hello everyone, my name is Alex. I'm a senior behavioral science analyst at HRW Shift. Welcome back on the Shift podcast. And with me, I've got Rory, a research executive at HRW and one of our experts in various domains of psychology. His particular expertise lies in self-nudging. Hi, Rory.
Hello.
Would you be able to tell us a bit about your background in self-nudging? Why self-nudging is an important topic to talk about and why we should be doing it?
So I used to work at a place called the Recovery College, and essentially at a Recovery College, a place for people in the community who were struggling with their mental health to come into the college and just learn about different ways they can support their mental health. So it's all about kind of independent learning and taking responsibility and having hope for the future. And a topic I was particularly interested in was around behavior change, because in a lot of our courses, say if we were teaching people about how to alleviate depression, for example, or how to cope with depression, a lot of what was behind it was you should run or you should eat healthier, etc. But as we
no
know
way.
in the world of behavioral science,
who would have thought?
It's not enough to just tell people to do something. So I became quite interested in this topic just around how do you encourage people to implement healthier behaviors in their life without just telling them to do so in ways that are effective and motivating for them. We did a course around healthy habit, and at the start of the course, it was just all around, you know, people got to pick a habit that they wanted to instill in their life. And then we went through kind of a 3-week program just to try and get those habits ingrained and make it motivating for people and make it enjoyable. In a similar vein, we did a Couch to 5K course.
All right.
And so that kind of put into practice a lot of what we'll be talking about later on, just in terms of like starting really small and then building up slowly and making sure you're comfortable with what you're doing and you're not asking too much of yourself. And yeah, it was amazing to watch like the progress of people just start off just like walking for 2 minutes or something. And then by the end, people are doing an actual 5K. It's it's amazing to watch, definitely.
That's incredible. And hearing that, maybe you could help me train for my half marathon, which is in about 2 months. I am on week 4 of my running plan, and so far I've missed the first 4 weeks.
Oh no.
So maybe I'm a great case to get another program going.
We're going to talk about System 1 and 2, which, if you're listening to this podcast, you may be familiar with these two different systems of thinking within the brain. And the way I like to refer to them is the automatic brain and then the manual brain. And so, as the name suggests, with the automatic brain, when you're in that mode, it requires less effort. And then with the manual brain, it requires more effort. That's the main takeaway there, basically. And when we're trying to instill a habit, or we're trying to turn a behavior into a habit eventually, the process is, roughly speaking, it's going from a very manual brain type process to something much more automatic over time. And then obviously, if something's more automatic, then it's much easier for you to do and you're much more likely to do it. So that's really important to understand to begin with. Following on from that, the next principle is the habit loop. So this is taken from the book Atomic Habits, which is really great if you want to go a bit more in depth in this kind of stuff. So the habit loop, it's basically saying that, again, a habit is a behavior that you've done enough times that it becomes fairly automatic being able to do it. So you don't have to think about it too much whilst you're doing it. So within a habit, there's kind of 4 different stages. So the first thing is you notice some cue in your environment. Usually that'll be a visual cue. So you'll see or maybe like a notification on your phone, or maybe it's the time of the day. There's something that makes you think, oh, I should practice this habit. And then following the cue, you then will have the craving to then perform the habit. Following that, you obviously perform the behavior itself. So that, you know, in this case, would be running. And then after that, there's a reward. And the reward's really important just because there's this effect within psychology known as the peak end effect, which is basically you're going to remember, if you go to a concert, you're likely to remember the best part of it and also the end of it. So you want to make sure that the end of it is really enjoyable, because that's going to really stick in your mind and it's going to make you more likely to do it in the future for whatever the behavior is. So if you end your run and you're in a kind of unpleasant way, then that's likely to stick in your mind the next time you plan on doing it. So you want to kind of avoid that ideally. So we're going to dive in a little bit deeper to each of these different stages. So we're starting again with the queue. So there are a few different things you can do. But basically, when we talk about each of these individual stages, we're going to try and optimize each of them to make it so you're more likely to perform the habit, basically. So starting with the queue, the main thing you can do here is just make it really obvious. So whatever the habit is that you want to be doing, just make it obvious in your environment. Most of this will be visual. So it may be that you're placing cues out in sight. So it may be that you kind of leave your running shoes by your bed or something. So when you wake up, it's like, oh, I should go for a run, you know, and you're reminded of it at the right time. Or it's a reminder in your phone, or a big one is about deciding when you're going to do it. That makes it way more obvious in your mind. So you can easily just say, I'm going to start running, and then not do it. But if you say, I'm going to run before work or at lunchtime every day at this specific time, then it's much harder to get out of it, because you just, like,
yes, absolutely. Kind
of, you've made the whole thing much clearer in your head. So
yeah, it's more concrete, so we can hook onto it. If we say, you know, the time, the, you know, space, I'm going to go running at 10 a.m. tomorrow in this park, for example.
That's it. And on the flip side, if you don't do that, then it's, you haven't set enough clarity with the habit. Basically, it means that at no one point do you feel like you have to do it. It's always like, oh, I didn't say I'd do it now. The next stage is the craving. So you've seen the cue, maybe you've seen your running shoes by your bed, or you've seen the reminder that you set on your phone for every morning. You then want to basically make the behavior seem more attractive. So a way that you can do this is you combine it with something that you know that you enjoy. So for me, like, if I go running, I'll almost always listen to music or listen to a podcast. So it's like, oh, cool, that's something I know I enjoy. And so if I combine that with the behavior of running, then I'm more likely to enjoy running in general. Or it could just be the space that you run in, you know, running in a park that you really love, for example. The next part is the response. This is the actual running itself. The biggest thing here is just to make it really easy. And then the way to make it easy is, you know, we live in a world or a universe confined by time, so you can work with that. And just because you want to go for a run, it doesn't imply that you have to run for half an hour. You could just do it for 2 minutes. That's fine to begin with. That's not a problem, because what you're trying to do is you're trying to instill this habit. So if the big danger, I think, a lot of the time when people try and start new habits is they start way too big, and they think, okay, in your case, I need to run this half marathon. So I've got to get up to, what was it, say 21 kilometers.
Yeah.
Like that. So then you're like, oh my God, so that's so far away and I need to be here at this point, etc. But when you're trying to integrate the habit, the first few sessions, it's fine to literally just practice putting on your running shoes, or like literally just leaving the house with your running shoes, like doing a 1 minute loop and then coming home, just because that's going to make it much more likely that, you know, you've overcome the first hurdle, you're used to doing that. And then what you find also is, like, if you start really small, then it's much easier to carry on. You know, it's just like, if you just tell yourself, I'll do this for 2 minutes, it's like, okay, fine, I can do that. And then you find once you've started for 2 minutes, you're like, oh, I could probably carry on for a bit.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, I did that with a friend the other day, and we did a loop of a park, and then we thought, well, it kind of feels nice, so let's do another loop. Might as well, we're here, right? What comes after the response? So after we implement the running.
Okay, well, one thing to be aware of is it's good to reset the environment, just because it makes it easier for you next time. So, you know, leave your running, like, wash your running clothes, leave them out in the right place for next time, whatever you need to do, just so that next time you're decreasing the amount of energy or effort that it requires to start again. The final thing is just to make it rewarding or satisfying. So we talked about this earlier, just about like making, doing something enjoyable afterwards. Maybe that's like having a cup of tea, or maybe it's a matter of, you know, just reminding yourself of the fact that you've done this thing, and that, you know, the reasons why you're doing it, etc. So that's the final part of it. So we've got the cue, the craving, the response, and the reward.
I like what you said about reminding yourself why you're doing it in the first place as a reward. So a reward doesn't have to be anything huge. It doesn't necessarily have to be going for a meal or anything
No.
material, even. It can just be a virtual pat on the shoulder.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. Yeah, make sure that the reward isn't so unhealthy that it kind of nullifies the whole point of the habit
That's
in
the thing, because
the first place.
it can be easy to fall down the other side of, well, I've done something healthy now, so
Yeah. Yeah.
I can be unhealthy for the rest of the day.
The only other thing to talk about within this is, and this isn't really contained within the habit loop necessarily, but it's more just like a broadly a form of like human motivation, which is obviously we're just very social creatures. So we care a lot about what other people think about us, of course, as we all know. But that can sometimes be an unpleasant thing, but it can also be a really good source of motivation. So when you're trying to implement a new behavior, start a new habit, you can kind of use this to your advantage. So one way is by having an accountability partner. So in your case, Alex, with running, you could have someone that you go running with, and then you don't want to cancel on the run, because by doing so, then you feel like you're letting them down, etc. So
Yeah.
yeah, that can be quite a good source of motivation. The Couch to 5K worked brilliantly in that sense. We had, I think, like 10 people at the start, and at the end we had like 9 out of the 10 2 months later, just because no one wanted to seem like they had dropped out because they thought that might make them weak or something like that, which might sound a bit unpleasant, but it did lead to like a really positive change. The other thing you can do is just join a community as well. So join a running club, for example, and then this is kind of like an extension really, but it not only gives you that accountability, but also hopefully makes it more enjoyable as well, because you're spending time
Absolutely.
with people. So yeah, adds to just the enjoyment of the whole practice, which hopefully then makes you more likely to do it. So
And then that's a bit of a, yeah, an association. Then we learn to associate that nice time spent with other people that perhaps we only see once a week or twice a week. We associate that with the running, so it doubles the
that's it.
happy feelings. When it comes to healthcare more specifically, of course, apart from running, we can think of it of self-nudging from a few different perspectives, one of which is we'll get ill less often, or we will get less ill if we look after ourselves. So from that perspective, looking at after ourselves can be a behavioral science problem, and we need to see where we can embed habits to maintain a good, reasonable fitness, a reasonably healthy diet, and so on. And more and more studies are looking into this, and they're coming to the same conclusion that to live a nice, enjoyable life, fairly lengthy, key points are eating healthily, staying fit, having that social aspect in our lives. And if we're privileged enough to be able to do all of these things, then we should try and do them as much as we can. But of course, we know that practice is the issue, not theory. But
Which is
let.
hopefully the sort of gap that this bridges, is going from knowing that you should do these things to actually being able to do them in a way that's sustainable. And I one more thing is just like, I think with the whole making it easy thing, if what you're doing feels consistently uncomfortable and something that you hate and something that you dread, just make it easier. Maybe you're not someone that runs for half an hour every day. Maybe you're someone that runs for 15 minutes every day. And maybe after you do that for a few months, then you become more comfortable with doing that. And then you can run for, 20, 25 minutes, and you slowly increase it. But if you're, especially early on, really not enjoying it, it's important to modify the activity, just because the main thing is sustaining it rather than doing it 2 or 3 times to an extreme extent and then stopping. So,
Exactly.
yeah.
It's consistency. And also it's important to not to try not to apply this to a lot of habits at one time. So let's
Yeah.
start small, maybe change one habit. Maybe if you'd like to give up smoking, you can focus on that. And then if you also want to start running, maybe try to add that at a later time after you're comfortable with sort of controlling a smoking or non-smoking habit and so on. Because trying too many things at once can just be overwhelming, can be tiring. There's a lot of brain resource that we need to use to make sure we're taking up all these habits and thinking about all these habits. So
Exactly.
it can be a bit much to try and change everything in one go.
Exactly.
Thank you so much, Rory, for sharing that knowledge with us. I'll keep you updated on how my running goes. And thank you, the audience, for listening to us. Let us know if you'd like to kickstart some habits, or what habits are you starting, what works and what doesn't work for you. Join the conversation. If you'd like to get in touch, you can email us. The email address is shift@hrwhealthcare.com, or you can reach out on X, formerly Twitter, @hrwshift. Thank you. Bye.